It's a brand new series of GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I love saying that. With a full recap of episodes 5 and 6 and a very special guest today coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, we got the lights.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Nice. That's great.
And they're pink lights, even better.
How cool is that?
Production value. This
great.
Wow. That was so cool. This whole show brought back so many good memories for me. And I know for you, too. My name's Little Egypt. I'm one of your hosts today. We'll go around the room and introduce everybody, starting with this beautiful blonde bombshell. To the left of me, also known as Godiva from season 3 and 4 of GLOW, tell us a little bit about where people can find you.
I am at Dawn Mastis on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Perfect. Thanks. How about you, scary guy?
Sure.
And I'm the Asian Invasion. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G.
I can't live up to that one, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. My name is Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And I'm Bill Hanstock, and you can check me out everywhere on social media at Sundown Motel, and check out my writing at uprocks.com.
Well, we are so glad you guys are here today, and I have to say that we're recapping 5 and 6, which has been so fun. We also get to recap it with a good friend of mine, Godiva, sitting next to me this beautiful woman who hopefully will give us some insights on not only just being an original GLOW girl, but what the Netflix series has meant to you and your take on it. Before we start, did you guys happen to see this?
I did. Yeah,
that's
love
awesome.
It.
Yeah, that's
Isn't that
awesome.
Amazing? This was in the Las Vegas Review Journal last month. And what I love about this is Las Vegas has a lot of pride in GLOW because that's we were filming at the Riviera Hotel, although the series takes place in Los Angeles. And so when Netflix came out, they were very, very proud of their history and the culture that the GLOW girls left in that town. So What about you, Dawn? What awesome. Have you thought about the show?
I love the show. And I had a blast watching it to the point where when I finished all of the episodes, I was sad. Like, I was missing my friends. And yeah. I think it's amazing. I think it's great how I was looking forward to seeing how Netflix in 2017 was going to push the envelope like GLOW pushed the envelope in 1985 because, I mean, we had two bag-headed wrestlers beating the heck out of the black girl, and they just went for it. They just totally went for it, and I loved that piece of it. I loved that they pushed. There was some jaw-dropping, I know, for sure.
What was that like for you guys? I mean, seeing that type of stereotype play out right in front of you. Especially you, Candace, being so young, not seeing the original, I'm sure.
You know what? I like what you said with them pushing the envelope. I think, especially if we're just talking about the 5 and 6 episodes where they're, you know, kind of solidifying their characters, solidifying who's a heel, who's going against each other. I really like that they were being very abrupt about the stereotypes because I think that that's such a conversation right now and people are so PC about things all the time, which I get, but there's things that you need to address, and I love that they like completely went against the envelope and, you know, went for it. So
you sort of can't really talk about the history of professional wrestling without talking about characters that traffic in stereotype. And it's such a huge part of, especially in the 1980s, what the pro wrestling landscape was like and how characters were determined, that they had to include it in some respect.
It's like
Hulk, it's like Hulk Hogan, man. I mean, like, Hulk Hogan's Italian, but instead they needed an Irish guy, so that's why he's like, his name is Terry Bollea, but then they called him Hulk Hogan because it's like, you're the Irish, like Vince McMahon was like, you're the Irish guy, so we need you to be Hulk Hogan, not Hulk Bollea or whatever.
Hulkamania was created when he beat the Iron Sheik, the personification of Iran at the time.
So the
patriotic fervor was off the charts. And then Hulk Hogan had a long string of like defeating people from strange countries like Kamala.
That's true.
Now, what about the first 4 episodes? It was a lot of buildup went into the backstory, helping educate a new audience to life in the 80s, and then also what it would be like to be an actress in the 80s, and then also being typecast and all sorts of problems that they were dealing with. Now episode 5 comes around, right? And now they're starting to get their characters. Was that fun for you when it kind of switched into more wrestling, when you got to see a little bit of that?
The whole thing's just been fun for me. Everything's been great. We've talked about it a bunch on the show about how much time and effort and care and love was put into every aspect of the show and how well written it is. But yeah, I mean, that was the montage where they're finding all their characters was so fun, and then getting to know each of those characters a little bit more as the series progresses. And I just can't wait for season 2 already.
I know, man. Can't they already announce it?
Yeah, really, yeah. Please. I love when when Carmen and Melrose took Liberty Bell, Debbie, to the first wrestling match that she's ever seen live, and it just kind of clicked. And she was still really uncomfortable till the very end. I mean, she never really embraced coming into the sport, and she didn't embrace, like, her character. She was just acting like Liberty Bell. She wasn't becoming a Liberty Bell. And I have to tell you, I happen to know some of the guys that were in that. I know Frankie Kazarian and Chris Daniels, who were the opening act. And then Joey Ryan, who played the...
Mr. Monopoly.
Yes, yes, yes.
After I saw this, I was like, part of me just kind of wants Joey Ryan to be Mr. Monopoly all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good character, and he does it so well. But he's just great at everything.
Yeah, he is great. He's so funny.
That scene where they took her to the wrestling show is very fun for modern-day wrestling fans, because that's the American Legion Hall in Reseda. And it's hard to make that... It's hard to make that building not look like the American Legion Hall in Reseda, and they didn't make any effort to not. But that's where PWG runs.
Oh.
And that's like the hottest promotion in most of the United States right now, definitely in California. So it was fun to see that venue used in this way.
That is cool. Thank you for sharing that insight. What did you think about when you were watching the girls see wrestling for the first time, except for the Carmen character who was brought up in it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it was, you know, I related with her because I think I was on TV for 6 months before I ever saw a wrestling match in my life. I never watched wrestling, and I was a gymnast, so that part of it, like, you know, flying through the air made sense to me, but I had never seen a wrestling match.
Well, how did you get picked up? What's your story? How did you find GLOW, or how did GLOW find you?
I was in the third season was when I started, and I had a girlfriend who we were gymnasts together and cheerleaders, and she was Debbie Debutante on GLOW, Susie Spirit's tag team partner, and my best friend since junior high school, and she was like, you got to come do this crazy thing. And I was doing very important work, waiting tables in Santa Monica. And I said, I'll come out for a couple of weeks. And that was that.
Wow. So how did you get the character Godiva, the British bombshell? Because your accent, by the way, I didn't know she wasn't really British until, like, I heard her in the documentary.
Really?
With an American accent. I swear, I thought, oh, they found a British girl, which was so cool.
It was very cool. How I got my character, Godiva, the director and the writer, as you know, would look for traits in you, whether they were stereotypical traits, some, yes. They needed a strong heel and decided that I was a cheater and that I was arrogant, and I don't know where they got that from. win at all costs, crush everyone in your way. And they made me Godiva, and I did a little digging on the real Lady Godiva's backstory, and she was actually a champion of human rights, and I just loved that story. She was actually the Lady of Coventry, and her husband imposed a tax on the peasants, and she said, they can't afford it, that's not fair. And he said, if you ride down the street naked on your horse, I will repeal the tax. And so she did.
Oh, wow.
I love that. Fun fact.
Awesome.
Fun fact. Wow. One person looked, and his name was Tom, and that's where we get Peeping Tom from. Oh, Godiva, you are a wealth of fascinating
Wow. I learned a lot of things today.
Oh,
that's
perfect.
Amazing.
Right?
Perfect. Wow. So I remember at the end of season 2, I remember Matt Simber, our director, getting up. It was after we were done, and we were kind of getting our, like, scenes for the next week. And I remember him going, listen here, you guys, we have a girl coming into this cast and she's going to be a Godiva. She's going to wear nothing. Her outfit's going to be completely nude. We'll put a couple flowers where it's important. But let me tell you, you better shape up. She can wrestle better than anyone around here. You better step up your game. You have no idea how big this is going to get. And I was like, she's naked? Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I'm not Lady Godiva. Like, I, that
don't be so repressed.
See, that's what's funny, though, is crazy. That's what I actually started watching GLOW. Because, I mean, yeah, because I grew up in the era yeah. where, like, porn and nudity is not very accessible.
Yeah.
You know, that was the point when I grew up. No, none of it was...
Porn and nudity
but none of that stuff was accessible. I mean, I had to sit there and say, man, when I turn 18, I can't wait to go buy Playboys. But when GLOW came on, I think it was the whole fascination of, like, these women are fighting, someone's going to tear someone's, like, top off, and I'm going to, like, catch something. And so, like, that was, like, so I think it's really funny that he said that. And then even when we're watching the episode, Mark Maron's like, it's like porn and kids, right? And I was, like, I'm sitting there going, like, yeah, that's why I watched it.
You didn't need Playboys after that, right?
Huh? Right, exactly, exactly. Right.
We're learning a lot about Rick this week. Right?
Yeah. It's hot and family friendly, I think he said. Yes. So, such an awesome line. I just love that. Now, we got to see, here's one of the things that when I'm watching episode 5 and Debbie is a prima donna, total prima mm-hmm. donna right now. She can't, you know, it's because she wants someone else to make her look good instead of actually digging deep to try and, you know, you become a better wrestler the better you put over someone else, mm-hmm. not waiting for them to put you over. So it's kind of like this dance that you do. And she wasn't willing to participate in her side of the dance. And I was watching that as somebody who came up in GLOW, and we would not have been allowed to get away with that type of behavior. And watching the Sam Silva character, I was kind of hoping he'd be a little tougher with her, like, because he has this mm-hmm. abrasive personality. And he's like, why are you letting her get away with that? Why don't you just, you know, put your foot down? What did you guys think about that?
Maybe Sam was just working the long con, and he knew that eventually it was going to end up with Ruth and Debbie anyway. So he can let her fuss all she wants. Eventually, she's not going to be able to deny. Because, you know, when she was doing, like, the mock match with, you know, Welfare mm-hmm. Queen and with Machu Picchu, like, it clearly wasn't working, and Sam was watching it not work. So he knew where the real money was, and he knew that if she just let her burn herself out fussing, that eventually they'd get there.
Yeah, and embarrass herself, too. I mean, you have one of the head executives come, and you'd know at the end of it, like, I messed up. Like, she was going to hang herself eventually, so I think he just let her figure it out on her own, and then that way he doesn't have the argument to deal with. He's like, you'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. Well, then that was smarter than I gave him credit for, and I was like, why are you letting her get away with that? Pound her. With Britannica, the Britannica character comes out for the first time, and I am sitting here next to, like, maybe who the character is loosely based on, I don't know, cute girl, Kate Nash. She plays Rhonda, who eventually finds her character as Britannica, and she says a line, right, because she's shagging, you know, Sam Silva, and she's like, Sam's going to get me a horse. He's going to get me a white horse. Godiva actually came in the ring on a white horse. Yeah. What did you think? Because you had we had no idea. This was a very tight set. We didn't know who they were actually going to pick and, you know, evolve characters from. And then there it was.
I watched her closely because I did read, you know, when the show was still in production, that they had hired Kate Nash. She was one of the early ones that they announced, and I knew she was British, and I was like, okay, well, there's that. So I had my eyes on her early, but I almost fell off my couch when they said, Sam's gonna get me a horse. I was like, yes. And then I actually reached out to her on Instagram, and she was so sweet, and she was like, Godiva, I love you, we're GLOW sisters for life, and it was so sweet, really sweet.
One of the things that I had to laugh about was the fact that the Rhonda character was shagging the Sam Silva character, and I had no idea you were sleeping with the director.
Oh, thank you. Most people don't bring that up.
What did your husband think when he saw that?
It was hilarious because everyone, I was not sleeping with the director. Honey, you're hearing me right now, right? He rolls his eyes and he looks over from the couch while we were watching it together, and he goes, everyone in the world's going to think that you slept with the director. And And I said, but I didn't.
Can I hear the story of why you guys decided to bring the horse into the ring?
Yeah.
Like, what evolved?
When I started with the story I just told you, when I started digging around about who Godiva was, I got to paint my own backstory. I got to create her.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
And very so cool. I gave her the British accent. And at the time, I was commuting back and forth from Los Angeles to Las Vegas to do GLOW because I didn't know what GLOW was. I was like, right. Is this legit? And so I listened to dialect tapes in the car. You can Google tapes. It was like four music formats ago.
I know. I grew up with this.
Okay. Just checking. Young people, Google it. I would listen to dialect tapes in the car, and I would practice my British accent. And then I remember we were at the NatPe convention where we would sell our television show. And the girls all come running over to me. Godiva, there's a station here from London and they want the show and we told them about you. I'm like, you guys, I'm faking this accent. Like, now I gotta go talk to people and they're like, oh, you're from Coventry? Whereabouts? I'm like, in the, you know, that spot in Coventry where I'm from.
You're like, I'm actually Kevin Costner in Robin Hood. Right? I'm Robin of Locksley.
So when I got to create my character, I asked the director if I could have a horse. And that's he awesome. Said yes. He said yes.
Had you ridden a horse before?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
I wasn't a complete phony. But my horse was a trained show horse. His name was General. And he was an Arabian. And when those lights would come up and the crowd would start screaming, he thought it was all for him. He thought it was... He was like, I don't know who this is on my back right now.
But
this is all amazing. Me. Look how pretty I look. Yeah. And he was cool.
Aww.
Did he ever buck or throw you off?
He didn't. But we rented a horse in Lake Tahoe when we were on tour. And that guy threw me into the fourth row.
Oh my God. Flying
through the air like I was a kitten. And so I had to stay in character. So the girl that was leading my horse out, I got up and I beat the crap out of her for being an idiot, of course, and allowing me to get hurt.
That's great.
So she's standing there going, Beastie was going, what are you doing? I'm hitting her with chairs. I'm beating her up. I hop up in the ring and Daisy was in there waiting for me. And that's a beating right there. And she grabs me by the head and she goes, oh my God, are you okay? I go, let's do this right now. And so we did our match and then I needed oxygen. Oh. And we never rented another horse.
No.
Right.
No rentals. No rentals.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
It was at least you were a gymnast though. Like, could you have done like... You at least knew how to stick it.
Yeah, I did three twists and I landed and everybody gave me a 10. No, it was actually my wrestling training that made me land flat. As I was going through the air, I was like, land flat. Don't land on your arm and break your arm. Don't land on your neck. Like, land flat. And so I did. I landed flat across chairs and laps and...
You can literally will yourself to land flat. Yeah, like when you're in air and you're feeling like you're tilting and all you're thinking about is laying flat, then all of a sudden it just happens. You just shift.
Just land that way.
And you land flat and it absorbs the impact. And
So you came aboard in season 3, right?
I did.
So what was, I know we've talked about like with the first GLOW girls, what their training was like. What was your training like coming aboard in the middle of this?
I was a gymnast. If I could do a flip to my feet, I can do one to my back, right? That was my logic. Like, that's only halfway over. That's fine. And if I'm going off the top turnbuckle, I got plenty of time to land it. So I felt pretty confident coming in, and Colonel Nanochka was my trainer. And then I took on a lot of the training also with some girls that came in later too, because that part was really fun for me. It was like gymnastics.
So you're like a natural at everything?
I'm not a natural at everything, but I was always a sporty girl, yeah. I was an athlete.
So basically you're saying you had a good forward roll.
I had a good forward roll. I did.
You know, I love that it was this episode that the Russian character came out of Ruth's mouth. And amazing. I was so excited because when I'm watching this, I'm like, who's it going to be? What is she going to be? And then she pulls out this Russian accent and I could not have been happier. I was just in Vegas visiting some friends and I called Nanochka. I was like, hey, Nanochka, come. Susie Spirit and I are going to have coffee. Come with us. And she's like, oh, I can't get away. What's this GLOW thing? And I was like,
are you kidding me?
Hell no. Yeah.
She didn't even know?
She knew that there was GLOW out there. She didn't see the episode. I said, wait a minute, Nanochka. Are you telling me I'm the one that gets to tell you?
Wow.
Because I am so excited right now.
Is you?
I was like, wow. sit down and give me 2 minutes because you have no idea. When I saw this character come out of Ruth, I couldn't have been happier because out of all the wrestlers, Nanushka is up there. One of the best heels, you know, besides Godiva, of course, sitting next to me, the beautiful Godiva, is Nanushka. And she went all four seasons. And she was so strong. She was also a trainer, too, in the back end. Mm-hmm. And she was her mom made all the costumes for the show.
Really?
So she's a seamstress. She took over her mom's business after Glow.
Very cool.
So she continues to work in that field. But I have to tell you, there was not a better hero for all of us to step out of that character. And I know there's some other Russian characters that have come out, like Major Tanya, and maybe there's a blend, but all I could see in here was Nanushka out of Ruth's mouth.
Sure. Me too.
You too?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How exciting. So yeah, I did tell her. I was like, oh, by the way, the main character is a Russian heel and sounds exactly like you.
Yeah. Even like her jokes that she does all the time about the Kremlin and vodka for breakfast. And
that's
those
right,
were
yeah.
so, that was yeah. so glow.
Yeah.
That was so glow.
She comes out with a cigar. That would be amazing.
That would be the best.
You know, I had to write down some of Ruth's, they're not her signature moves yet, but it was when she was basically wrestling herself, which is a very hard thing to do.
Very hard thing to do.
That was, you have to give her a lot of props for that. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But some of her moves were, the bread line. I love that. The Russian toilet paper. That looked amazing. And then potato soup, which I would love to see how these actually... I mean, I can't wait for them to like start calling like their signature moves. Did you have a signature move?
I did.
And what was it called?
The Buckingham Bounce.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That. Okay.
What was it?
I would throw my opponent into the turnbuckle once I had her pretty beaten down and then give her a nice crotch kick so she hangs there for a minute. I back up, run across the ring diagonally, and jump up with my legs on the top rope, pinning her arms down, which left me free to do mean things to her face and pull her hair. And then the ref would come over and I'd get a 10 count. So depending on what kind of damage I wanted to do, I'd be like, give me a long 10 count. 7, 8, 9. Okay, I broke. And then I could start over again. So it was the Buckingham Bounce. Nice.
What was yours, Little Legion?
It was very interesting. It was called slinking out of the ring with your tail between your legs. That was my signature move. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll own it. I'll own that one. Are you kidding? I got clobbered so many times.
Dude, no, but you know what? Ric Flair says the same thing. His move was the figure four lock, figure four lock, and he always said that I never won with that move. I always had it, but I never won with that move. I don't know if you've seen it. So like he, same thing. It's like there's a signature move, but it's not really one that wins him the match. He won other ways.
Yeah, like I'm sure the Housewives. I don't even know if they'll have a signature move, and if it is, it'll be funny. Like, it'll be really funny. Videos.
Well, no, I actually talked to. When Kimmy came up, Kimmy Gate, when she came up, and I was talking to her about that, she had mentioned that they don't have one yet. I mean, this is before I got to see it, and then, but she did mention about SUNY and Beirut having a pretty cool one.
Yeah.
And what was funny, too, is like the person I was doing the interviews with actually asked me and said, dude, do you think that she's Nanushka? Because Kimmy has the blonde hair and everything, but as I started talking to her, I was like, it was very clear that like she's a tag team, she's not in the thing, so I was like, I'm even going to ask her about Nanushka in this scenario.
Yeah, on the pink carpet, she had Nanushka's exact haircut.
Yeah, the blonde just like
Yeah, that is so funny. Speaking of Beirut, I was also in front of Palestina a couple days ago, and who hasn't watched the Glow series yet either? I'm like, what is your... What? There's a character...
Are you going to get to, like, you should just go through the list and get to break the news to, like, everyone.
I know, right? I think I can. I should actually record that. She's getting the play-by-plays from Friends. Oh, my God, you should have seen the girl that plays you and da-da-da. It's very, very similar, although Palestina came out, she was very sexy, and, you know, actually the cargo pants were very cool, but I like what they're doing with the new terrorist, with kind of like the Iron Sheik look that they're doing. Yeah. Wouldn't you agree?
It's fun.
It's more comical.
All of it's fun.
Yeah. Can't wait to see these girls, like, pick up their wrestling game. I think I've heard that a lot. Have you guys heard that? Like, we want to see more wrestling in the show?
Everyone who's seen it that I've read, that I've talked to, they just want to see more. And more at this point, given, you know, not spoilers or anything, but given where season one ends, it's clear that we're going to get a lot more wrestling in season two.
Yeah. It took me, I don't know about you, but after I was done, well, I watched all five, I watched 5 hours straight through all 10 episodes. I was having the best time because you can imagine. I'm like, whoa, oh my God. but with that being said, one of the things that I was excited about was also the direction that it was going. When you were watching episode 6, this was the episode written by Jenji Cohen. Mm-hmm. Were you, you know, what did you guys think of that storyline that she wrote? She uses, this is where Ruth goes in to like a brisk type of thing, tries to pick up a character, a lot of some stuff going on with Debbie and Sam. Britannica comes out with the white horse.
I'm just a huge fan of Jenji in general. Uh-huh. I think she has such a gift to really like give every character its own attention and its own storyline. And I think that this was like, for me, I stopped at 6. Like, I'm the person that hasn't watched everything.
Oh, but, wow.
The culmination that, like, this is the peak of where everything's, like, the turning point. And I think it was very appropriate that this was, like, you know, the big episode that would switch over from getting all of the characters laid out, the backstories, all of the, like, necessities that you have to check off the list for this series to make sense.
Yeah.
And then now you're really, like, seeing the depth and the characters and seeing the two girls come back together, regardless of whether or not they want to be.
Yes.
And I really feel for Ruth, too, because, you know, Ruth just wants Debbie back. Yeah. Like, she knows she made a mistake, and she's working her butt off for all of this, because this is all she has left, you know? Mm-hmm. And then finally to see the two of them come back together, whether or not they're on good terms, they're at least, like, together. Like, this dynamic duo, you know?
Like, Ruth's whole arc and her best moments and her strongest moments are... when just Ruth's just the absolute worst, and she can't just as like her motivations, her decisions, she cannot stop herself from just being the worst all the time.
Yeah.
So when she just throws herself into this horrible accent in the most inappropriate possible time, and she thinks she's nailing it so hard, and everyone's just talking crap about her in Russian, and it's only saved by the fact that she knows a song from Yentl.
See, I was disappointed, because I was like sitting here thinking, oh, here it comes. She's going to sing, Papa, can you hear me? Papa. Instead, I was like, she sounds like Barbara Streisand, but I don't know this one from Yentl. I was hoping it was going to be the Papa song, and it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. I like the, I don't know the character's name of the Russian man working the front office, but I hope they use more of him. He's definitely has an attitude, don't you think?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah. He says, I have a woman sometimes.
Yeah.
That's his always opening line. I have a woman sometimes.
Yeah.
She's mad at him.
Yeah, you're all prostitutes or escorts. Yeah. He's like, whatever.
I don't have to pay. Yeah.
And that's another strength of the show is that there's these characters you don't expect to have a big part in the show. Yeah. And then it just like, oh, he's an important part of this journey.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things about these particular two shows that I think really struck me as just a unicorn in Hollywood was how much... Okay, we've got women writers. We've got a largely female cast. The male characters are brilliant. They're fleshed out, too. They're not just, you know, window dressing for these women. But the storyline with these women, and you have all types of different female sexuality on these two episodes. So you've got Justine with her little boy crush. And then you've got Debbie, who seduces the... wrestler motorcycle guy in her just walk of shame the next day and the guilt and like, ooh, it's so much better to just be with your husband and that light bulb for her. And then the just sexual confidence of Britannica, where she's just, I'm shagging Sam. She's very sexually aware and fine with it. And I liked all three of those stories because those are females. Those are women. Those are women's issues. And we just don't see that anywhere. Mm-mm. We don't see any of that addressed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that they sometimes, previously, I wouldn't say now, I feel like females are finally getting to the point to where they're starting to get roles that are really fleshed out, like you said, that show the different dynamics of women, because we're not all the same, and we don't all depend on a boyfriend, and we don't all depend on a male, like a main male person to talk about, you know? So I feel, I completely agree, because they're all trying to find their own place whatever that may be and owning it. And I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Thanks.
Too.
Yeah, that was that seemed to be a turning point here that we're in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I totally on topic, but I have to ask you because I get asked this question all the time and I can't answer it, but maybe you can, Godiva. We get asked all the time about the actual fines that were assessed and the trouble that we would get into. And honestly, when they, I don't know if it was because I truly am a good girl and I don't get in trouble, but in season one and two, it was not as, it didn't seem as prevalent as it's going on in what I'm hearing in seasons three and four. Can you share any insight there?
Sure. Okay. Well, I think also a lot of that has to do with in seasons three and four, Glow's ratings were up. We were traveling a lot more than you guys probably were. And we were doing high profile things like Married with Children and Phil Donahue and these things. And so I guess some of the girls were just girls who would sneak out. Actually, Hollywood and I were probably the most guilty. We probably got in the most.
Oh, that's awesome.
Were you fined?
Oh, so much.
Really?
So much.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. And if I opened my mouth when he fined me, he'd fine me again. And so that was my undoing. That was my undoing because I was 24 years old and couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I was having a good time, you know? Hollywood and I lived in the house with the producer and directors, this big mansion, and we had a separate entrance. Now, of course we're going to leave.
Right.
9 p.m. curfew? I'm a grown woman. I'm out. Let's go, Hollywood!
What were the fines like?
$200, $300. Yeah.
But that was kind of close to our paychecks.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, and that was the 80s. Yeah. So, like, $300 is like...
Yeah.
Good amount now, but back then, that's a real...
Yes. You'd think I'd learn to shut up, wouldn't you?
No, you must have watched too much Breakfast Club.
I don't know.
Too much Judd Nelson with the principal. Just keep going.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was part of our world for sure. So, and, you know, it made sense. You have to keep everybody safe in the ring. We can't be partying all night and then hold somebody in a pile driver.
In the documentary, which this series was actually, if you read the articles and stuff, the writers will tell you that they watched the documentary. They were inspired by the documentary. They sent Jenji Cohen an email. Do you think we could do a series? She replies back, yes. And so in the documentary, you mentioned that Matt would say, what would he say to you? Like, what were some of the cooler things he would say?
Some of the cruder things?
Crueler.
Oh, crueler. He called me fat every day. Mm. Every day. And I got to tell you right now, anybody who's watching right now, go pull up my social media and look at my 25-year-old body. There was nothing fat on it. He put me in the naked suit, right? So it couldn't have been that bad. I was the naked girl. So I got called fat a lot. That was mostly my beef with Matt, that and that I didn't know how to be quiet. We're actually dear friends to this day, and I love him, and I could have, I would be making a salad, and he'd be like, are you putting dressing on that salad? I'm like, yes, stop, I'm starving.
So not to bring up like a kind of a depressing issue, but in that situation, being a woman and having somebody tell you, hey, you're fat when you're not, did that affect your psyche a little bit in terms of like how... You know, because like, I know, like, there are girls out there now, like being, especially being a gymnast, too.
Sure.
You know, Sean Johnson, I think, was, like, saying, you know, like, I definitely started getting an eating disorder when I was, like, going to the, you know, doing, so, like, I don't know if that messed with you. You're like, dude, I already did that stuff with gymnastics. I'm going to eat my Twinkie.
Right, and I did do that with gymnastics, and it's always, you know, when you're a prepubescent, teenage, young adult woman... I don't care if you're Giselle, you have body issues. You just do. I don't care if you're the teeniest, most perfectly built person. You have some body issues. There's something on you that you don't like. So, yeah, it's like a scab when somebody's like, hey, you're fat. It's not fun. It's not fun to be called fat or skinny or anything. Like, but I assure you, when I was 25, I wish I was that fat. I wish I was that fat. That was all good.
Here's this dynamic that we had with our director Matt Simber, because he was flat out, you know, there was no filter. But if you knew where he was coming from, you could deal with it. Like, I was raised in an Italian-Turkish household, and yelling was just a form of communication. Like, my husband, when he first met my family, thought that we were all, like, we're fine. What's your problem, you know? But when I would hear Matt go off, it was always like, why are you provoking this man? He's telling you what he wants. Just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. He's not asking your opinion. I think that's where some of the girls could find like their own personal issues with Matt is when they wanted to express their feelings as if he was interested at all in how they felt about anything.
That's true.
Yeah, he's just 100% like
true.
Yeah. So yeah. I learned that really. That's why I never really had any issues. I was like, he's going to tell you if you just shush. You know, you'll know exactly what we're supposed to do, and like we're getting paid a lot. For us, it was good money.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. But honestly, it was $350 a week for me. Mm-hmm. But from 19 years old working in a t-shirt store, making $100 a week and not having to do any work except for show up for training, right? Mm-hmm. And show on Saturday. Yay. I was money in the bank. I was like, don't anyone screw this up for me. Be quiet, please.
Was everyone making the same amount at the beginning?
I don't think so. I think there was like Queenie and Fiji and some of the, you know, the top of the company were probably doing more. Yeah, but I thought it was pretty good. I wasn't complaining.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You?
I'm not sure what everybody was making. I know I was making a little more because I was training the girls, and as we would get sent out on things, you know, I would make more money for doing mm-hmm. Family Feud and Playboy mm-hmm. and Phil Donahue and those things. So I don't know. I guess I never really thought about what anybody else was making. I sort of minded my own business in that forefront.
Yeah. It was kind of like an unwritten rule not to ask those kind of questions. Yeah.
Still is, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
To this day, it's still like, you know.
Yeah.
The years that, like, you were talking about Family Feud and mm-hmm. Married with Children, the years that Glow was on TV seemed like basically every sitcom had a Glow thing at some point. What did you do any of the...
No, I was. That was after season two. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's when... actually, Glow found themselves in litigation over my name, Little Egypt, and it had to be changed to the Egyptian girl from Alexandria.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's long.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, that litigation caught a lot of press, and from that press snowballed into a lot of media tours, which was great. So think they settled for $250,000. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. For back then, Matt was furious. He wanted to fight it because he really felt like he had every right to use that name. But the trademark stemmed from the Real Little Egypt's family from the 1800s. And they still hold the trademark.
Wow, so, that's great.
Yeah, I'm glad Lady Godiva didn't resurface.
She's like in the public domain.
Yeah.
But then the chocolates, right? Have you had some trouble there?
I have. I can't have my social media accounts say Godiva. I guess I could do like wrestler Godiva or something like that, but
Godiva
I can't
Glow
have.
Glow or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it wouldn't even let me do Godiva Glow.
Really?
So on my fan page, I have Glow, and then I have G-O-Dash. It's too much of a mouthful to even say. So that's kind of a bummer. Godiva Chocolates does own everything under the sun. But I wouldn't trade my girl for anything. I loved being Godiva.
And then you've actually boycotted chocolates altogether? Am I hearing that?
I haven't boycotted chocolates altogether, but when I would film my sketch, we would film them all in one night. You're on the air with Godiva, like mm-hmm. an advice line. Mm-hmm. And at the end of each call, when I said, "That's all for now, loves, talk to you soon," I would turn and take a bite of Godiva chocolate. There's a lot of outtakes of me spitting chocolate into a bowl.
Right,
because
right.
after the first one, and I'm filming 30 of these in one night.
Yeah.
Woo!
So they got chocolate.
They got a lot of chocolate spit footage of me.
Now, they started to slowly step into, like, a possible raps, maybe. We haven't actually seen raps yet. We haven't seen, like, the Glow song yet. Yeah. But I think they're evolving in that direction. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. There's great teases. Like, when Britannica plays the tape for him, it's... Yeah. People who know Glow are like, oh, my God.
I know it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. And I think it's hilarious for people who aren't familiar with Glow, too, because it's like the cheesiest rap
yeah,
that she's
right?
just doing by herself. And again, it's one of those situations where it's like, it's something that's not good, but she thinks she's nailing it. She's like, this is such a good idea.
And see, and that was, that was the thing about like yeah. the mid to late 80s too, is like that's when like rap was like really hitting its stride.
The Super Bowl mm-hmm. shuffle.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so like, so it makes a complete sense. Like, let's yeah. just put a beat yeah. and let's just try to rhyme. Yeah. And yeah, like to this day, it's like I can sing karaoke. Yeah. I cannot rap karaoke whatsoever. I'm awful. So I stay away from all that stuff, but like, cause it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like me looking in a mirror and being like, "Yo, I'm Rick and I'm sick." And some like weird bad beat in the background, being like, "Click off."
What was the story behind why you guys chose to do the rap? Was it just like they just you showed up one day, your first day, and they're like, "You're gonna do a rap for like seasons 1 and 2," or did someone come up with the idea and then it kind of evolved?
So I don't know if it came from Matt or what creative idea, but it definitely spun from the popularity of the Chicago Bears Super Bowl Shuffle. And then, yeah, some girls got to write their raps. I was not a writer, so my rap was written for me. Did you write your rap?
I did, and I wrote a lot of raps for the girls. A
really?
Lot.
Wow. Well, can we hear
awesome.
One? Yeah.
Oh,
let's hear your
boy.
Rap. Yeah.
Godiva's got bars.
Oh, my God. Can we get a little background music, please?
I'm Godiva from England, of course, and through the town I'll ride my horse. I'll prove I'm beautiful and quite tough, because in the ring you'll see all my stuff.
Wow.
My favorite one was one that I wrote for Phil Donahue.
Okay.
I had a mad crush on Phil Donahue. And when we were going to do the Phil Donahue show, I was like a girl. Like, I'm going to meet him. Oh, my God. Phil Donahue, really? Like,
yeah, gray hair, like big old square glasses.
100%. I was like, must have had some kind of daddy crush or something going there. So I wrote a rap for Phil Donahue, and he blushed and walked away from me when I sang it to him.
Did he really?
Well, can you share the rap?
Yeah, I'll do that one for you. Godiva here, and you should know, I'm glad to be on the Donahue show. If I have my way, and I will, I'll see you after in my dressing room, Phil. Oh, and I messed his hair up, and he was like,
That's great.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, awesome. Wait, come back. I really do love you.
Oh, my God. You know, it was I was watching my newsfeed, and I saw Share the Memories, and it was a year ago today that we lost – a year ago in 2013 that we lost Big Bad Mama, one of the first ones that we could remember. So I'd like to, you know, shout out to everyone who's thinking about Big Bad Mama today. I know one of the things that she always wanted and she always believed in her heart that their GLOW would have another chance – and she's not around to see it, but it's actually happening right now for her. She would have been so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a good lady.
Really good lady. Yeah. Didn't mean to bring. Did I just bring it way down?
Whoa,
did I
no.
Just,
like, no. No, no, no. It's an honor.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. That, you know, it's back now, and it's finally pop culture is in a place where they can enjoy GLOW, the original GLOW, for what it is.
Yes.
And also, you know, this amazing yeah. prestige series. So I feel like there's probably going to be some sort of like awesome remastered DVD package of the original GLOW coming out. Like, wow. Wouldn't you have to think that would be like Babe would probably be on that, right? Got
yeah.
some irons in the fire
yeah.
for that.
Get it out on Blu-ray
wants.
4K.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, it made me want to go down the GLOW rabbit hole after watching those episodes. I was like, I need a match. Like, I feel like I want to see something, you know, and what's happening and Betty Gilpin on her road shows has been encouraging people to go down the GLOW rabbit hole. And I have to tell you that has been the best thing to come out of the GLOW Netflix series for us, is calling attention to that work, to that piece of pop culture, right, from the 80s, that, you know, these girls, this one sitting next to me is a national treasure in pop culture. And it's just nice to be recognized for that kind of work. And it did make an impact for a long time. Now, imagine in the 80s, 6 channels, right? Imagine,
right.
You know, you got your broadcasting networks and then you had your cable networks. And their GLOW was on this cable network, averaging at its zenith, somewhere around 6 million viewers a week.
Mm-hmm. To be a massive
pretty
hit.
Pretty crazy,
now.
Right? Yeah, yeah, it would be a massive
yeah.
hit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm so glad about that. Is there anything that you guys wanted to add?
No, I mean, definitely with the rabbit hole thing, like, as soon as I found out that GLOW was coming out, I went on YouTube and just, like, watched everything.
Shh, shh. might be watching. Don't let YouTube know. Let them know. They'll start like throwing like copyright strikes everywhere, and it'll get pulled down. And you'll be like, no.
Oh no! Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
I'm just like, that's like what I worry.
Oh God, what did I say?
No, it's like one of the things that I worry about. I'm just like, it's there. It's a treasure.
Well, I mean, I think because it's been so long, like that, it's been on TV. Wouldn't it be okay?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised at who starts throwing copyright strikes here and there and getting things pulled down. I mean.
I don't know if I told you this before, but I, you know, you got to break some news to Nanechka, but I got to, I accidentally, my wife didn't know there was original Glow.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, we were talking about the Glow show and I was telling her I was going to be on this after show. And I was like, it's hosted by an original Glow girl, like one of the real ones. And she was like, Glow was real? I was like, no, it was super real.
Surreal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, it's definitely, my son's in a fraternity at college right now, so I happen to be the coolest mom right now.
Oh.
Yes.
In his college.
That's awesome.
That makes me cool.
So he's like, Mom, come to all of the events. I want you to come to all the fraternity parties.
Yeah, then they're all going to be like, can you belly dance for us? like, no, my mom doesn't do that.
Yeah. I didn't do it back then. I could barely. I mean, Matt sent me to lessons, and I couldn't hardly do it.
It's hard to do.
Oh my God! And what people don't know is, like, Nanochka was a professionally classic trained dancer. I mean, one of the reasons why her posture was always so perfect, and so was Susie Spirit, was actually a lead at the Folies Bergère at the exact same time we were shooting Glow. Mm. So here are these amazing dancers, and they put the one girl who never danced in the dancing role. And I remember, you know, Nanochka going, can you put your arms up? Put your arms up. Because I was like a dead fish, you know. I mean, my arms are so long anyway that if I'm in a bad mood, like, my knuckles will just, like, drag on the ground. I mean, that's, like, the worst person to have that character. But, you know, you get what you get, and you try and make the best of it. And that's what I love about what you're seeing, as these girls, not all of them are getting what they want. But they are embracing it, and they're trying to make the best of it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. And again, that speaks to how they're going for it. There's not a cookie cutter person on this show, and they really have pushed it. And I mean, how easy would it have been to make Ruth super likable or make her super talented? And it's got to be hard work to be an actress that's playing a crummy actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I watched you guys with Kia, and she said it was hard to be a crummy wrestler when she knew what she was doing. Like, I feel that way about some of these characters, too. Like, they're flawed, and I love that. Yeah. I love it.
Some of the best characters I've seen on television in years and years and years. Like, apart from Carrie Russell's part on The Americans, like, every part on this show is just, like, some of the best parts for women, for anyone.
Right?
Years and years and years. If not ever. Just, like, they put so much work into making everyone a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's why when I got to the end of the series, I was like, where'd they go? I need to know what happens next. Where are they?
I love that in addition to, like, the acting component that they're having to do, it's the wrestling that's so interesting to me, because what you have to learn to become a wrestler, and you're actually watching them evolve. You're watching, like, their skills evolve, and I can't wait to see just how competent that they become. You know, are they going to start taking on, you know, some more moves? Are they going to start falling in love, getting bit by the bug? You know, because that's what happened. We got bit by the bug. You know, we weren't doing what Debbie did initially, and that is she didn't embrace it. She didn't, you know, she didn't accept it for what it was, and she didn't run with it. And yet, at this point, by episode 6. And so I have to say, like, this is, for me, very exciting to watch the character development in that direction, too. I really hope, if anyone at Netflix is listening, you know, to please take them through that journey. Because that's so rare. Do you realize when we were on this show, for the 4 years, the 4 seasons that Glow was on the air, there were only about 60 women that were cast in characters that had an experience like this on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, crazy, right? Yeah. Like, it's a hell of a story.
Yes.
And yeah, I love it. What about you, Rick?
I like the there are two things about the episodes is, and I don't know if you ladies did it because it was a very like 80s kid thing to do, is the prank calling.
Oh,
because there's no caller ID. Yeah,
but that's then, right.
But then the other good thing is about the turn is you start seeing that Sam and Allison's character, like they actually start bonding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to see that he's not, you know, he's like, I was out of line. I'm sorry, I grew up in a household that was a little bit like this, and you know, you start seeing them bond, and I don't, you know, like, obviously, like that also helps, I think, kind of develop and give her the confidence of the mm-hmm. Russian character too.
Yeah, I loved when she came in after she went to the celebration, and then came in and she's like, okay, well, I'll change my whole character. Yeah. Comes in as like this Jewish woman, saying all these different words. I was rolling.
I was too.
It was hilarious because she was trying so hard.
I know.
And then she's like, fine, I'll just be Jewish
with my completely covered legs.
Yes.
My completely covered legs, and then I got my little like cover and shalom and shabbat and all this other stuff.
I know. Like, hilarious.
That would not fly on wrestling. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
I would totally love to see that, though. It was
great.
Oh, right.
My gosh.
Yeah.
It was hysterical.
Yeah, that was so funny. Good. Gosh. Well, you guys, next week we're going to be talking about episodes 7 and 8. So guess what? Get ready to go for a fun ride, Candace.
I'm going home and watching right now.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Yeah.
It's my Sunday off, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. It gets better and better, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does.
It just gets better and better. So with that being said, let's go around the room and close out the show by telling people that are watching right now where they can find us. I'll start. My name's Little Egypt. You can find me on the official page of Little Egypt on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Little Egypt. It's so easy. So find me there. I have great albums that I want to share with you on Facebook. So if you want to go down this Glow rabbit hole and see behind-the-scenes pictures, I have some of the best albums around. What about you, Godiva?
I'm Godiva, and you can find me at Dawn Mastis on all my social media, especially if you want to see the naked bodysuit. It still fits, by the way. It still fits.
I'm going there right now. And you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RCKHONG.
And I'm Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And I'm Bill Hanstock, and you can find me everywhere at Sundown Motel.
Nice. Thank you guys for joining us.
Bye.
Yay. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.